Heller, and welcome to Misunderstood, the show for all you culturally and politically misunderstood ladies or gents. We are your hosts.
I'm Kathy.
And I'm Nathy. And today we're going to talk about the latest feminist news to hit the scene. For example, did you know working from home negatively impacts women more than men? Allegedly. Plus, Serena Williams is retiring from tennis because she has a uterus. And Mindy Kaling is promoting single motherhood. Yikes. But first, our patented culture shock moment of the week. Well, take it away, Kathy.
Well.
Nathy.
Apparently, and people aren't talking about this, but apparently Anthony Fauci, the good Lord himself, I shouldn't say that.
Our Lord and Savior. Yeah. Anthony Fauci.
Anthony Fauci is retiring?
In Fauci we trusted, I guess, because he's retiring. Wow, this is
from
news to me.
From NIAID and as the chief medical dude at the secretary of the White House.
Yeah,
place.
So he's
gonzo at the end of the year.
Yeah, and I guess he's been working for like 38 years. I'm sure it wasn't to make money. I'm sure it was to help
yes.
the nation.
I'm sure he wasn't corrupted at all and had no interests of his own.
I'm sure the response to the COVID-19 pandemic was out of the goodness of his heart. He didn't make a lot of money or anything throughout the pandemic,
I don't think. He didn't fuel the AIDS fears in the 80s by telling people they could catch AIDS by close contact with another human being.
So we're obviously losing one of the greatest medical authorities in America, and
Eddie's soldier.
I'm actually really sad because the COVID-19 pandemic was so fun for all of us, wasn't it? Wasn't it so fun for you when you lost your jobs, when you were forced to get a vaccine you didn't want, when you closed your business, when your kids were stuck at home?
When your family stopped talking to you and your friends disowned you.
The divorces. Opioid crisis. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, what a fun time. And I guess, hopefully, now that you're gone, we'll never have to relive it again. Mm-hmm. But your legacy will live on, Fauci.
Watch the person who replaces him be much worse.
Come back, Fauci.
Fauci, come back.
All right. Anyway.
You shall be missed.
Yeah, we are really
broken up about it.
We're clearly in distress. These are real tears. This is an interesting one. Let's jump right into it then. So apparently, the work from home revolution is also a trap for women.
For woman.
Just
for
one woman.
Yeah, just one.
Just
she's having
author.
A rough time.
It's the author.
She's having a rough go.
Did you work from home at all during the COVID-19 pandemic?
Yes, I did.
Yes, I did too. And did you feel like it was a trap?
No. I adopted my beautiful dog, Beatrice.
I got
and bonded with her.
Yeah.
Right?
It was so much easier raising a
dog. It was the best time to bond with my dog.
So beautiful.
And now she cries when I leave the house. So I think maybe it was too much.
So something that she needs to work through, but yeah. It was a positive thing overall.
Yeah. Yeah.
So basically, this article just talks about how, although there are, positives to working from home, it specifically negatively targets women.
Women of color, Natasha.
Oh my gosh, yes, this is a good one.
Yeah, so
this
here's a good one. This is a fun quote, and you sent me this quote.
Please read the quote.
And it's a funny one, okay. Women of color love not being exhausted from working in close physical proximity with white people and their microaggressions.
That's racist!
Another one was they like being able to use their own bathrooms.
Yeah.
So
are we allowed to use our own bathrooms, or are they putting biological males in them?
Yeah. So now women care about bathrooms.
Yeah. Now we care about bathrooms.
Now we're so concerned about sharing a bathroom.
Another one is women like making their own lunches without others' commentaries on them. What?
You're that sensitive about food. If you're sensitive about food, like what you're eating, like you maybe should talk to someone.
Who is this fragile dove who gets bent out of shape when someone's like, oh, is that a sandwich, Kathy? Like,
Kathy.
It's not not that bad. But so this article starts off with saying how great working from home is for all these reasons, like microaggressions and their own bathroom.
Yeah. Which my favorite part of working from home was avoiding those things as well.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, and it's so there's this other quote. It's like there's one significant catch in this working from home utopia that additional flexibility opens up a space, and that space is quickly filled with responsibilities that were once equally distributed between partners in a relationship, but also between citizens and society in which they are a part. Okay. No.
Yeah.
No.
That's we could pretty well just stop talking about it at this
like
point.
Wrong.
The answer is no. I think it's just interesting because what if, like, you're a woman who goes to the office?
I'm non-binary, so I'm going to have to try and... Okay, I'm a woman.
Imagine you're a woman. So you're a woman. Yeah. You go to the office. Yep. You have kids. Okay. Mm. Your husband works remotely. Mm. So do the responsibilities fall on you still, even though you're out of the home?
Yeah.
Or perhaps it's your husband who picks up slack while you're out commuting.
No man has ever cooked a meal, as far as I'm concerned.
I'm not married to a man who cooks all of my meals.
No. Bless him.
Bless his heart. Yeah, and they talk about equity in a marriage. But you guys are a partnership. Mm. Like, you're supposed to be a partnership. There are, I think, certain instances in a relationship where someone does, you know, carry a bit more weight. But I think it evens out.
Like pregnant belly, like a big old pregnant belly.
Exactly.
Maybe a woman carries that weight.
Well, exactly. But then that means that your husband or whomever would be picking up the slack in other areas, maybe, right?
Like, if it's financially, that's one way. If it's not financially, then perhaps he does more housework. Maybe he spends more time with the kids. Like, I know people who are the woman is the breadwinner of the family and the husband deals with the children because that's what he's good at.
There are stay-at-home dads.
Yeah.
So, and it's, I think this article is sort of ignoring biology a bit because the study found that even when the father was unemployed and the mother was employed, the mother still did more of the unpaid care work. But what the heck is unpaid care work? Being a mom? That's such a cold and weird way to describe your life.
They always talk about it like that. And that comes up later with the Serena Williams stuff. But it's always like, it's not fair that a woman has to do this and that and that she has to, like, be a mom. It's like, first of all, you don't have to be a mom.
Yeah.
No one is forcing you. And if they are, call the police immediately.
Yeah.
That's illegal, okay? But B, if you're choosing to be a mom, which is a privilege, not a right, embrace it.
Yeah.
Maybe take, don't. It is paid in love and gratitude and love and, like, little baby squeaks and giggles.
And, like, you've created a human being, like a productive, hopefully functioning human being
ideally.
That's going to pay for your retirement home one day, hopefully.
Yeah, push you around in a wheelchair. Like, to think of being a motherhood as unpaid labor is just so backwards.
It's so clinical.
It's horrible.
Yeah, it's just, it's so
weird.
It's
your child.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously there are elements of this article that I actually do agree with, but the biggest... kind of trigger point, not trigger point, the biggest, like,
she's triggered.
Yeah, I'm so triggered by this article. But the biggest thing that made me, like, discredit it is that they use words like she session and microaggression and just, like, the worst sort of things that everyone hates about women. They are embodying that. It's like, how are women supposed to be taken seriously when people write about this crap? Like, you know, I just don't get it.
I don't get it either, Natasha. And they also talk about the fact that 75% of heterosexual marriages is the man makes more money and the woman does more housework or whatever.
Right.
But it's like, okay, 75% is big, but 25% is a quarter.
Yeah.
So that means a quarter of the time it's the opposite.
Right.
And that's not something to neglect.
That's significant.
That's significant. Yeah. The whole thing is, like, it's a trap for women. Like, who's the trapper?
And it's like, are the women who are choosing to do this trapped?
Yeah,
then?
Like, am I trapped because I like a clean sink?
Exactly.
Like, no.
Like, it kind of seems like they're putting all women in a box.
Yeah.
But it's so funny because feminism is all about how women can do anything. And it's like, well, what if I just want to clean the damn toilet?
Mm.
Okay, I don't.
No one wants to clean the toilet.
But I'm going to do it a little better than my husband.
It has to happen, though.
It does have to happen, yeah.
They also talk about how there's a 10% disparity between, like, as people are starting to go back to work after the pandemic, more men are returning to work. And it's only a disparity of 10%. So, and they're like, see, men are just trying to get out of housework. And I'm like, I really don't think that your husband is going to commute to work and deal with trouser pants and, like, communal bathrooms just to get out of, like, cleaning the sink or whatever. It's so stupid.
It's absolutely ridiculous because nobody likes commuting.
Yeah, no one likes
commuting. It's so exhausting and stressful and it can be dangerous depending on the weather. Like, I'm pretty sure these men would rather work from home.
And some, I know, like, I had a boss once who said coming to work was, like, his time.
Right.
Like, when he goes home, he's involved with
his family.
Focus on the family,
yeah.
Exactly. But when he goes to work, he can focus on work and he doesn't have to, like, it's not like he can't think about his family, but it's like he can focus and it's like there's a separation there and he enjoyed that. And, like, maybe as a woman, maybe it's harder to make that separation and you're still worried about what's going on at home because of biology. So it's like, it's easier just to be at home.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's like, and also maybe men are just not scared of COVID. Have we considered that? Maybe less men are friggin' terrified of COVID and are not using it as an excuse not to go back to work. Because they're like, I don't feel
say.
Yeah. No, it's so true. Unless they live in Toronto, then they're all scared.
Well, obviously.
Well, one of the things they talked about was like this Deloitte 2022 Women at Work survey, in which 53% of the 5,000 women surveyed reported higher levels of stress than a year ago. A whopping 46% felt burned out, and 33% had taken time off to deal with their mental health. Among women actively looking for a new job, 40% of women cited burnout as their main reason. And I think actually working from home during the pandemic was a bit exhausting because you never felt like you left work.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a never-ending work day. Exactly. And then you get off work and you have to deal with your children who are mm-hmm. also probably at home. But that is not exclusive to women. Like burnout is a, I think that's such a huge millennial thing in general.
I know half the stuff in this article could absolutely be applied to men.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And we've talked about work burnout before, especially as millennials. And I think it's something that you can't put people in a box. I think everyone can experience this depending on where you work and how your bosses respect your free time and stuff like that. But it's such a larger conversation than just women. Mm-hmm. Like it really is.
It's humans.
And it's a huge issue that I actually really sympathize with this mm-hmm. because I think burnout is so legitimate and I mm-hmm. don't think people talk about it enough. But heller. Like this is a bigger mm-hmm. conversation. It's not about moms.
Yeah. And it's like all the research that they did basically just like backed up their already determined like consensus.
Yeah, like it just affirmed their bias.
Exactly.
Really. Yeah.
And it's like like I've said, you can apply all these things to men, and some men prefer to be at home.
Yeah.
And some men prefer to be at the office, and same goes for women.
Yeah.
And it's okay. And yes, like if you are the kind of woman who comes home from working a full day at work and your husband has been at home and he's not done anything, that can be very frustrating.
Yeah, it can.
For sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure that happens both ways.
Like, oh, yeah.
And that's a conversation to have inside your own marriage and like to look at, you know, priorities
areas to improve
and responsibilities between the sexes. And like sometimes one person is the breadwinner and the other person picks up the slack in other areas. Like those are individual like circumstances. And it's not something that you can just be like defined by like, oh, women are being trapped. It's like, oh, give me a break.
That kind of inspires this next thought I have where it seems like we're in competition with each other. Like you're not supposed to be in competition
with your spouse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like you're not supposed to be in competition with your spouse. You guys are equals. You're equals.
Like you just said, it's a partnership.
Exactly. So you're going to have to pick up the slack here mm-hmm. and there, but I think it should even out in the end. And if it doesn't, then you're right. That's something you should address more seriously. I don't know.
Yeah, not every relationship works nicely, and it's not equal. And some women are coming home to a mess after working a full day, and their husband's a bum. Like that stinks.
Yeah, that'd be so exhausting.
But that's not the majority of relationships, and that's not what they're even talking about here. They're making like a broad brush stroke about like men in general, like love to go to the office and leave their like this quote. Or in some cases, they're subconsciously or subconsciously choosing to distance themselves from the possibility of doing more unpaid domestic labor. Like come on,
unpaid domestic labor, like it's, you build a home together, it shouldn't, like it's not supposed to be this like exhausting and miserable.
No, and you know, like I know myself where I'm like, we need to reorganize the plastic bags, there's different types of like a man is like, I'm cool with having disorganized plastic bags under the sink, but I'm like, I want them to be organized so that when I open the sink it's not bags flying everywhere. It's like that's my For him, he's not trying to get out of that unpaid domestic labor. He just doesn't want to. It's just not important to him at all.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he'll care about something that's complementary to that, but different that you don't want to do. And anyway.
Like make money. I'm not good at it.
That's why she needs your e-transfers.
Please send me an e-transfer.
Speaking of money, should we move on to our next one?
Yes, let's move on before my face explodes.
Yes, it's going to happen. I guess one last thought on that article, though, is you making women look bad.
Yeah, it's the subtle bigotry of low expectations.
Yeah.
And cut it out.
Cut it out.
Cut it out.
We can do it all.
We can do whatever we want.
Okay? So shut up. All right.
All right. Bryce Dallas Howard says she was paid, quote, so much less than Chris Pratt for Jurassic World until he advocated for equal pay. Okay. Do you see it in the title there, Nat?
Mm.
She was paid so much less than Chris Pratt until who? Advocated for equal pay?
I think it was a biological male.
It was him. It was Chris Pratt. Like, so I think it's wrong. Like, okay, I'm going to back up a little bit before I dig into this. In this article, it mentions that Ellen
Pompeo said that she she almost quit Grey's Anatomy when she found out Patrick Dempsey was getting paid twice as much as her. That is effed up. The show is called Grey's Anatomy, and she plays Meredith Grey.
Okay, fine.
I don't watch the show, but like,
They negotiate?
Well, yes, that's the thing.
Their wage. We've talked about the wage gap before. Women are less likely to demand more money or negotiate more money. That's my first thought. And my second thought on this is, in the case of Bryce Dallas Howard, even though I actually think she's an incredible actress, people don't know her. They know Chris Pratt. Mm-hmm. Like, he's super famous. Yeah. So he's bound to make the movie more money because of that, right?
And it's horrible, and it might be sexist, but if she quit, they would replace her with another woman.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's unfortunate.
I'm not saying it's right. It happens all the time. Like, James Bond stays the same. The girl changes every time.
Yeah.
Mission Impossible, Tom Cruise, he stays the same. The girl changes every time. But it's not fair, but it's the way it is. So, like, you need to advocate for yourself.
Yes.
You need to make yourself irreplaceable. And as a woman, that can be hard, especially in Hollywood, where your beauty fades and the male just keeps getting older and somehow
Hollywood's
that's okay.
It's disgusting. Sexist industry.
It's horrifying. And I get that. But like Nat just mentioned, Patrick Dempsey probably negotiated his salary better than Ellen Pompeo. And Chris Pratt definitely negotiated his salary better than Bryce Dallas Howard, because he, in this thing, he says to her, "You don't have to do a thing. I will take care of it." And it's like, he's so playing he's being the hero in real life.
Yeah.
And it's like, Bryce, you're making yourself seem pathetic by being like, "I don't make enough money, but like, I don't know what to do." And then the man comes in and like fixes it for you. It's like, well, that's why he gets more money than you.
Plus, isn't Bryce Dallas Howard a child of nepotism? I'm pretty sure she came to Hollywood with some help. Don't know if Chris Pratt did. Pretty sure he's self-made. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, that is another thing. That is another element Hollywood to consider, that's though. Like, half of these people were born into this life.
It's hard to pity you when you willingly enter a career in Hollywood and you're like, "Oh, they treat women so bad." It's like, yeah, they have for like a million years. Like, like, what else is new?
Yeah, like you chose to go into an industry that is going to sexualize you and what's the word I'm looking for?
Just mistreat you and disrespect you.
And also, a Hollywood producer is not going to pay a penny more than they need to. No business will, including producers, will pay a penny more than they need to. Absolutely need to. So if Chris Pratt is the star of the franchise and
he's going to get the audience
They're like, "Oh, I'm going to go see..." No one says, "I'm going to go see that new Bryce Dallas Howard movie."
No, because she doesn't have the pull, even though she has talent.
She's talented. It's just the way it is, and it sucks. But you chose to be in a terrible industry. It's terrible. And if you're going to be in that industry as a woman, you need to learn to negotiate like a man, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And it sucks. Like, why should you have to be beautiful and sensitive and a good actress and also
is unfair.
A negotiator? That sucks.
Yeah.
I don't want to tell you.
I don't want to tell you
But
either.
It's the way it is, because he went in and he negotiated for you, and now you're enjoying the benefits of that. And so you should thank him.
Yeah. You should just thank him and not
thank him.
Speak to the news about it.
He can kill dinosaurs and negotiate for better wages for you.
And he's like pretty hot.
He's very hot.
Anyways. Speaking of more sexism.
Yeah. Serena Williams on why she's retiring now. I definitely don't want to be pregnant again as an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
I feel her.
Yes. Well, okay. In her defense,
before we rip her apart.
The birth of her daughter in 2017 was very traumatic, and it led to multiple surgeries and a near-death scare. So
kill me now.
Right. And I think it's because she was quite a bit older when she had her first kid.
Okay.
She's like 41.
I'm going to cry.
You're very young. Okay. She's 17.
Okay.
She's going to be fine. She's very healthy. Okay. You're also not a tank like her.
Well, that's, you'd think that someone like an athlete would just be able to like shoot it out.
Tennis
ball.
So she's saying ta-ta to tennis. After 7 Wimbledon and 7 Australia Open titles, 6 U.S. Open trophies, and 3 French Open crowns, Williams, who's 40, is officially retiring from the sport, she announced last week.
It's pretty impressive that she's so good still at 40.
She's one of the greatest players ever.
Like, that's pretty crazy.
And she came from nothing. Like, you should watch the Will Smith movie, what's it called, King Richard. It's honestly so good, and it's all about her and her sister and her dad. And Will Smith actually deserved his Oscar. I'm sorry. Don't slap me, though.
That's okay.
But I don't know, 40 is pretty old for an athlete.
Yeah, it is.
You know, but it's old for a male athlete.
So we could tinfoil hat too. It and say like, oh, maybe she's actually just retiring and she doesn't want to concede that she's too old for the game. But it's like, yeah, she hasn't been losing lately. So that seems, not that I follow tennis that closely, but I haven't seen like, oh, Serena Williams like loses again. So
yeah,
I'm thinking that might not be it. But I think there's something to be said about the fact that like when a male athlete retires, it's usually because he's too old or he's injured.
Right.
Because he doesn't want to play anymore. But for a female, she's literally retiring because she wants to give birth again. And you could look at it two ways. The first way, and how she's probably looking at it and how the left will look at it, is like, that's not fair.
Yeah.
That's not fair that she has to give up her career to have a baby.
Could also just not have a baby.
Yeah. I would argue the other way to look at it is like, well, that's a privilege. Like I've mentioned earlier, yeah, like having a baby is a privilege, not a right. And she doesn't have to do it. She's doing it because she
could also adopt.
Yes, exactly. There are ways that she could bring more life into her family.
A puppy.
Exactly. And it's one of the most beautiful things she can do. And the fact that she can be the biggest female tennis star in the world ever, and also a mother, is awesome.
Yeah.
Like they say, like you can look at it like, oh, that sucks that she has to. It's like, or you can be like, how amazing is it,
yeah,
she did both things?
No, amazing. I totally agree. And she came from nothing. Like she hustled. Her family worked their ass off to get her to where she is. And I think it's like, she has like a net worth of, oh gosh, it's like hundreds of millions of dollars. She's married to some.
From hitting a ball with a thing.
Yeah. So $260 million net worth.
Woo,
and color. It's like, you've accomplished so much. Like, I think if you're going to be exiting this field, you need to go out on a high horse and say, look at all the things I've done.
Yeah.
I came from nothing.
I've done enough.
And I'm also a mom, to your point. And yeah, I'm married. And I have a huge net worth.
Mm-hmm.
And you've also paved the way for other little black girls in tennis. Like, yeah, She's literally an icon.
She's an icon.
I don't particularly like the way she plays. She's like a...
But she gets it done,
but she gets it done.
She could take you... She could wrap you up into a ball.
She could kill me. Like, she's scary.
Yeah. I just think it's such a weird way to look at it. It's like, oh, oh, it sucks that she has to quit. It's like...
Yeah.
Well, and she's being a responsible, loving mother.
Yeah, like I think children need their parents, and I think you're doing the right thing. Your kid didn't ask to be born. You brought it into the world. You should be a supportive and loving and present parent. And I don't know, she's been playing for decades as well. It's like, maybe it's time to let someone else win. Like, she's kind of being a gatekeeper.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, if the thing is if you're the GOAT, you're the GOAT. You don't need to retire just to let some loser come in second place. Like, but I will say that this highlights the biological differences between men and women.
No.
We need some sort of like alarm. Biological differences between
red flag.
Men. Like, she has to, quote, give up her tennis career to give birth to a child. And you know who's never going to have to do that?
Leah Thomas.
But we'll never have to do that.
I think the way she describes it, though, makes it seem as though she resents her kid a little.
Yeah, that's the problem with
the
whole
take. And her kid's going to grow up and see all of this in the media. Like, because she did a Vogue cover, and that's
where this... No one will see that.
Yeah, no one reads Vogue. Okay, no one does read Vogue. But one of the things she said that was so interesting is she says, the only person I've really gone there with, like talked about this with, is her therapist. And it's like, so you can't talk to your loving parents, but you can tell Vogue that the only people you can talk to, even though you're literally telling the entire world right now. So it's like, do you really need my sympathy? Because I don't make $260 million. I don't feel bad for you.
And she already has a kid, and she's
married to a tech guy.
Yeah, so, I don't know which guy, but he's rich.
Reddit guy.
So rich.
Yeah. So it's like, boo-hoo.
And you think you're probably going to have another kid. Like, that's a privilege. Again, that's like a gift from God. So, like, I don't feel bad for you. You're a winner. You're a huge star. Your life is amazing.
You have an amazing legacy.
You're choosing to retire before you tear an Achilles to have another baby to raise with your millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Plus his millions. Possible billions.
Shut up.
You're good. You're doing great, girl.
Yeah. I don't want to hear any more complaining from you.
And she
Serena.
Can still, like, she can still play tennis.
Yeah.
She can teach high-level athletes. She can coach. And she can get, like, her advertising deals. Like, none of that's going away.
Yeah.
You're fine. And you don't have to have the kid. Keep playing if you want to. My goodness.
Yeah. You know what? The real reason she didn't tell her dad is because he would have been like, get your head in the game.
Serena. Does he say that in the movie?
No.
Oh. But that's from High School Musical.
Okay. It's all, yeah.
That's where Nat's sports knowledge starts and stops.
It starts and stops at High School Musical. Troy Bolton's pretty. Anyway, okay. Yeah, okay. We'll move on from that. But yeah. Matt Walsh tweeted,
yeah,
in true lib fashion, Serena Williams plays the victim card and bizarrely says it's not fair that women have to do the physical labor of having babies. And it's like, what in, like, what do you mean fair?
Mm-hmm.
I like the way he summarizes it. I don't always agree with him, but.
I always agree with every single thing.
Yeah.
Because he's Matt Walsh. Just kidding. We are humans.
That's a really healthy.
We are humans.
She's a really healthy relationship.
I would like to point out. Yeah. They're gods.
Yeah.
I would like to point out that it's not fair that men have the highest mortality rate at workplace incidences, and that men are the number one victims of murders, and that men are the only ones that get drafted into war, and that I have another one here. Oh, yeah. They have to kill spiders.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's not fair.
Ooh. It's not fair.
Not fair.
You know what else isn't fair? Life, Serena. Yeah. And I don't have $260 million to help make me get through my crappy life.
If you would
life.
Like to even out the playing field, please
donate.
Send 200 and we'll take a million.
Just a million.
We'll
each.
Take 100 million.
We'll take 100.
We'll split it.
We'll split it though, and we'll be generous with each
and
other.
And then we'll start complaining too. We'll be like, it's not fair.
We want to relate to you, so send us money,
please,
Serena.
Help us relate to you.
All right.
Serena. Okay. All right. Speaking of relatable, what's more relatable than an actress who's worth like $30 million? $35 million telling people to pay for their college-aged daughters to freeze their eggs so that they can focus on their careers and then be single moms when they grow up.
Ooh,
that's so relatable, I think.
So relatable. So Mindy Kaling, the writer, actress, and creator, promoted single motherhood in an interview released this month, adding her hope that parents should pay for their college daughters to freeze their egg. She had her eggs frozen and became a single mother in her late 30s, and she's currently single with two children. I would like to point out two fatherless children.
Yeah, I'd also like to point out that she has nannies, I would assume, because she is a millionaire, and she is a producer, an actor.
No expert. Mm. But if I were a single mom, and I had millions of dollars, a mansion, a pool, Botox, a chef probably, nannies.
Yeah, a driver.
A driver. I think being a single mom would be flipping wonderful.
I think it would be, yeah. It's so tone deaf of her to be like, girls, everyone. She says I wish every 19-year-old girl would come home from college and that the gift, instead of buying them jewelry or vacation or whatever, is their parents would take them to freeze their eggs. First of all, not everyone comes home from college to a bunch of gifts, Mindy.
Yeah.
Just because I did, because my parents were like, wow, you graduated. Oh, my God.
You did it.
Yeah. I was extremely privileged. Most people are not, of people either can't go to college or they have to put themselves through college by working a bunch of jobs. And there's no gifts waiting
for
them.
You're the 1%.
Yeah.
So I would like you to shut up.
Yeah, shut up.
And it's like she talks about how kids are the best part of her life, but it's like, is the way you've done things the best for your kids? Because it kind of feels like they were just like puppies that you decided to order, and then you picked them up
when you were ready for them.
Exactly.
That's the problem. It's like, it's all about like me, like when my life is ready for you to be in it, then I can have children. It's like, okay.
Without a dad.
Without a dad, mind you.
So
you don't need to have a father in your life.
No, and I think, like, this goes back to our earlier point. Like, can't women do it all? Like, can't we go to school, have a job, have kids, be married?
Yeah, it's like cutting our legs off. Like, you can't have a good career, ladies, if you bother with children and all that. And, like, a husband and love. Like, it's so much better. We know this statistically. We've talked about fatherlessness before on the show.
Yeah,
statistically, kids have a way better chance at not becoming drug addicts, not becoming violent, graduating from school, getting a good job, and having a stable family of their own if they have a father in the house. So she's literally saying to every 19-year-old girl, don't worry about all of that. Just go and get your career, climb your way up the ladder, pay your income tax, and then when you're 40 and you have millions of dollars
and no partner
to help you, then you can start raising your kids.
It's just the most egregious thing.
And also, I read an article about a woman who did that. Uh-oh. She froze her eggs, did her career, and then none of her eggs were viable when she was ready for them, because that is also a... And honestly, I'm glad it didn't happen to Mindy Kaling, because I honestly think she'd be a great mom.
Yeah, she's hilarious. I love her. I love her too,
actually. I really do love the Mindy Project, and she was hilarious on The Office.
My favorite show ever.
She's so funny. She's great. I think she'd be a great, fun mom. So I'm glad that she has her kids. But this woman was not so lucky, and her eggs were not viable when she was ready for them. And she said in the article, it was for a major news publication. I forget, but I'll try and find it. But she said, I regret this. I wish I had just had kids when I could have. And now I have nothing except a long career.
Yeah. And there's obviously this huge, I don't know, weird narrative that they're trying to like make it seem like kids are going to ruin your life.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know if there's like an agenda there, like depopulation and all that stuff. I don't know what the reason is, but it's like having kids is literally what we're born to do. We're born to get married, have kids, and reproduce. Like, I'm talking like Elon here, yikes. But it's like, it's true.
Neither Nat or I have children yet, but so maybe.
On your way.
I know. Maybe once my baby comes out, I'll be like, they're right. Yeah.
No, of course.
My life is over.
But it's a beautiful thing, and they don't want us to have that in a normal and functioning way for some reason, and I just don't get it.
And also, your life is kind of not yours forever. Like, if you want to just vacation and party and shop for the rest of your life.
Sounds hella boring.
It sounds like, whatever, to each their own, that's fine. But like, the way I see it personally for me, it's like, when I have my kid, maybe they will ruin my life as it is now. I will start a new one.
It's going to disrupt your life.
Exactly. I will be reborn as a new person, and that new life will be a lot harder, and I'll get a lot less sleep. So in a sense, they're ruining my life, but I'm like, I'm bringing them into the world. Like, their life is the important life now. And like, that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And like, again, I say this now.
Yes. Yeah, but I think, I mean, Seb and I have been married for 3 years, 3.5 years, and now we're kind of like, we're kind of bored. Yeah. It's like, what's next? Like,
there's only so many restaurants.
Yeah, and so many trips you can go on, and you're like, eh. Like, I think, you're right. Like,
Baby.
Yeah, you know, but it's like, there's something, having kids is obviously fulfilling in some way.
In some way.
And children are a gift.
I'll let you know.
Yeah.
I might be gifting my baby to you.
But to that point, it's not, I'll take her or him, but it's not to say that like having, like parents, being a parent isn't difficult.
Of course
it's hard.
Of course. It's going to ruin your life as it is right now. You will, like on Saturday, I slept until 10 a.m. That's over. Like if I want to be like, my life is ruined. I can't sleep until 10 a.m. and I can't
7 stay up probably.
Till 2 a.m. watching horror movies. Like, yeah.
But it's going to be interesting and fun.
It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be
a ride.
And
they have little feet.
And your kid's going to have a great dad. So.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mindy.
Sorry.
You suck.
Yeah.
No,
it's
you
just
don't.
It's a really bad take. But it's a bad take, and it's tone deaf, and it's such a celebrity thing.
It's such a privileged thing to say.
It's such a privileged thing to
and
say.
And a secular thing to say, and it's just, it's not working for me.
No, it's not working.
Anyways, this has been
fun.
A lot of fun. A lot of girl talk.
What are our takeaways?
Our biggest takeaways are that feminism is a plague.
It's a plague.
It's a plague. It's like plague. The real pandemic is feminism.
Wear a mask when you're walking outside, lest you catch feminism.
Should we ask Fauci how to combat this vicious
virus? I think he would say that it's highly transmissible and that you should wear 3 masks to avoid it.
Do you think there's a feminist vaccine?
Oh my God, yes.
I don't know what it is, but...
I think there is one, but it's to give you feminism.
Oh.
And they've all taken it already.
Okay. Well, as your favorite anti-vaxxers, that's the sure. That's the sure.
That's the sure.
So thank you all for tuning in. As you know, this show airs every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on Rebel News Plus. You can subscribe today for $8 a month at misunderstoodshow.ca.
Boom.
Boom.
And if you haven't yet subscribed, you can listen. For free, every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on all your favorite streaming platforms. Platforms like my sandals. And then on Saturday, the show comes out for free in all its beautiful glory for everyone to watch at watchmisunderstood.com.
Watchmisunderstood.com. But subscribe to our YouTube channel. We need 1,000 subscribers.
Yes,
please subscribe. If you're watching this on YouTube right now, because it's already Saturday, hit the subscribe button. Or else.
No, I'm just kidding. Because the money that you donate, well, Yeah, it's
close. You'll monetize. You'll help us monetize the channel, and you'll help the lights stay on, okay? Yeah. We need the lights. We're getting old.
Yeah, so for YouTube, it's free. You just have to hit a subscribe button. But when you sign up for Rebel News Plus, you're not only signing up for all the shows, but you're also supporting Rebel News in general. That's how mm-hmm. Rebel News is able to send, like, Lincoln was just an
Equality.
Equality?
Whatever.
How do you say it?
It's the North, the Great White North.
He was there. and Lewis was in the Netherlands. And it's just like, that's how we pay for all those trips that are super important to tell the other side of the story. So you're not just paying for us because we are great. We are worth
it. Okay, we get it. You're paying for us and you want us to shut up. Yeah. We get it. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Understood. All right. We'll take your money.
All right. Okay. Now follow us on Social Murdera if you really like us. Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. We got a bunch of fun videos,
pop, clips. We pop and lock it.
So,
we're
okay.
Very hip.
All right, bye.
Bye.